For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, speaking with you today about impediments to prayer. I've said that prayer is the hardest work I do. It's the time when concentration seems even more difficult than when I'm trying to write or trying to prepare a talk. It's hard to start, and it's hard to continue. And yet prayer is a duty. Even though it is a duty, somehow or other, it always seems to give way to other things. Other duties seem to press more insistently. I'll do anything but pray. I like to talk about it. I like to write about it. Here I am doing radio programs about it. I study it. I rack my brains over it. But how much do I pray? I do almost anything else except pray. Well, I guess the truth is that it comes down to the fact that it's not easy. It's not really according to our human nature, although I've said that there is something natural in us that makes us want to pray. There is something in our nature that makes us automatically turn to God when a disaster strikes. We say, "Oh my God." People who use that kind of language carelessly, aren't even thinking of it as prayer. And those of us whose habit is to pray to God, thinking of Him not in a vain way, but in a serious way, we have no trouble praying when something dreadful happens. But we're supposed to be praying continuously, living a life of prayer. On one of those talk shows, I heard a woman talking about her wild, chaotic sex life, and she told how she had been married to a very nice man, but she said, "You know, I just discovered one day that, well, I'm just not a monogamous person." She said, "I was having all these affairs with different guys, and I just didn't know what was wrong with me, and I thought, well, there's really something weird about me. There's nothing wrong with this husband. He's a nice man and all that, but, well, I don't know. I really didn't know what was wrong until it dawned on me one day, I'm not a monogamous person." Well, guess what she did? She gave up monogamy. And she carried on with even more enthusiasm, having one affair after the other. Well, I suppose you and I might say, basically, I'm not a praying person. I'm not really very good at it. It's just never really been my thing. So shall we give up praying? The truth is, none of us is really a praying person, not naturally. What about the Apostle Paul? How good do you think he was at it? Was it easy for him? He speaks of strenuous exertion for the Colossians, great conflict and struggles. Well, what was it that he was struggling with? Well, he was struggling, I suppose, with all the things that you and I struggle with when we try to pray. For example, with all that says to me, what is the use of your praying? What difference does it make? Is God listening? We have so many other, quote, important, unquote, things to do. Why set aside time just for prayer? It seems like we hate to say it, but it really does seem like a waste of time because nothing seems to be happening. You can't really tell whether God's up there listening. You can't really tell whether the wheels are being set in motion in the spiritual world to get things done. So you get discouraged. Then there's the remembrance of sin, of failure, of tiredness, spiritual tiredness as well as physical tiredness. Anything at all that keeps me back is what I have to struggle with. And I would assume that that's what Paul was struggling with too, because he was a man like the rest of us, a man of like passions. And yet he struggled. He exerted himself strenuously, he said. He went through great conflicts. And I came across some little notes that Amy Carmichael had written for her family in India, a place called Donavur. She was always writing out little notes for the help of the rest of the family numbering about 900 people, counting 700 children and about 200 workers. And she had written out some notes on prayer for their day of prayer. They had a day of prayer every month, and I'm sure those people had as much trouble filling up that day with real prayer as you and I have filling up, well, a day or an hour or 5 minutes with real prayer. And after writing down some of the reasons why we struggle, she wrote these notes on what will help me most in this wrestle. First of all, the certain knowledge that my insignificance does not matter at all. For I do not come to a Father in my own name, but in the name of his beloved Son. His ear is always open to that name, and of this I can be certain. Never let your own insignificance stand in the way of prayer. Secondly, what will help me most in this wrestle? The certain knowledge that this is Satan's lie, that he is much more afraid of our prayer than of our work. This is proved by the immense difficulties we always find when we set ourselves to pray. They are much greater than those we meet when we set ourselves to work. Have you had that experience? I have it all the time. I can set myself to pray at the best time of day, which happens for me to be in the morning. I'm at my best. I've had a good night's sleep. There's nothing distracting me physically. There's nothing in the house that distracts me at that hour. The phone doesn't ring. It's quiet. But to set myself to pray means that immense difficulties immediately arise, and they are even greater than the difficulties that arise when I set myself to do the work, which is the next hardest thing that I do, writing. The third thing that she says will help us is some words of Scripture, and she gives quite a long list here, which I don't have time to read for you. But thy face, Lord, will I seek. If we say that to God, the moment we say, thy face, Lord, will I seek, then his mighty energies come to the rescue. Greater, far greater is he that is in us than he that is against us. Count on the greatness of God. But are we to go on wrestling to the end? And she says, no, there is a point to which we come. When utterly trusting the promise of our Father, we rest our hearts upon him. It's then that we are given what St. Paul calls access with confidence. But don't forget that this access is by faith, not by feeling. Faith in him, our living Lord. And I don't know how to emphasize that strongly enough. It's so easy to be carried away by feelings, to imagine that spiritual life depends on spiritual feeling. It's one of Satan's lies. We do not necessarily have good feelings about our prayers. And the access with confidence that Paul speaks of comes by faith, not by feeling. You've simply got to believe that God means what he says. When you come into his presence, he's there waiting for you. His ear is open. Last week we spoke of prayer being cooperation with God. As we cooperate with him in planting a garden, we sow the seed, he sends the rain and the sun, or in conceiving and carrying a child, and then rearing that child for his glory. So we cooperate with God in doing any work he has given us to do for his glory. Janet is cooperating with God by running the very complicated machinery in the control room. I trust that I'm cooperating with God by speaking into this microphone to you who are listening to me. I hope that you, perhaps driving your car or working in your kitchen or working somewhere else or just sitting quietly and listening to the radio, are also cooperating with God in these few moments. But prayer, likewise, is work. Work which is given us to do for God here on earth. And the things we bring to him in our prayers are in themselves the raw material from which he wants to produce in us the fruits of the Spirit. What kinds of things do you pray about? Well, mostly they're things that we think need to be changed, aren't they? We see a situation which we feel could use some improvement, and so we bring it to God in prayer. We ask Him to do something about it. Those very prayers are in themselves the raw material from which He wants to produce in us the fruits of the Spirit. Do I pray that God will help me to love? Yes, I do. But then what is His answer? He sends me someone that I have no natural inclination to love. Have I asked Him to give me joy? He sends me circumstances then which are not in themselves joyful. After all, joyful circumstances bring joy or happiness. I wouldn't even be praying for it. The very fact that I come to God in prayer for something is an indication that it's going to take a divine answer. Do I pray for peace? Then there will be reasons for anxiety that come into my life, and I go back to Him for the peace that passes understanding. When I pray for patience, what sort of an answer do I expect? The Scripture tells me tribulation works patience. Am I tempted to quit praying altogether? Well, it's the enemy Satan who tempts me to quit because he doesn't want anybody cooperating with God.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.